the Denver Nuggets 2020-2021 season ended a little bit sooner than everybody wanted. And we wanted to spend a little bit of time breaking it all down. So, joining us now is Matt Moore, our Nuggets insider, courtesy of Michelob Ultra, an official beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets. Follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball and at the Action Network. Matt, the season for the Nuggets comes to an end in unceremonious fashion, swept by the Suns. But that doesn't nearly tell the story of this season, does it?
I just think there's a lot to tell about this season. You just got so many twists and turns as the season went on, from the rough start up below 500, you know, to the surge back, to how well they were playing with the playoff team, the trade for Aaron Gordon, which got them in position to look like a real contender, the devastating Jamal Murray injury, the rush after that happened, somehow still managing to survive and make the playoffs as the third seed, just really an incredible season, and then winning a first round series when they were at such a disadvantage. You know, I think that there's something to be said for how resilient they were, but ultimately it ends on a sour note, as it likely was going to after the Jamal Murray injury. And, you know, we'll see going forward. There's a lot to expect next year after what was, Michael Malone admitted, was the most difficult season in his 20 years of coaching in the NBA.
It is difficult to look at this season and say that the way it ended, that the playoff performances, that any of that, to an extent, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but it wasn't a fair portrayal of this team. Because, yes, when you're the Nuggets, you have a somewhat slender slice of opportunity that you can cut into on any given year. But look, in a year where injuries took out the Lakers, maybe taking out the Nets just a little bit here. We've seen teams with bigger stars, more star power than the Nuggets, get taken out, and yet here they were persevering, minus so many different players in matchups that were bad in both cases. And I guess I looked at it before the Portland series and said, if they win the Portland series, to me, the season was an unmitigated success. There's really nothing you can say about it. It absolutely was a fantastic year. The injuries were going to, as you said, always going to doom them at some point, whether it was the second round or even if they got to the Western Conference Finals. Is the way they went out in the sweep and in the fashion that we saw in the last couple games, does that make it maybe a little bit worse? Am I maybe being too kind?
I think it makes it a little bit worse. I think if anything, it teaches you, you learn a lot. So they learn important things like, I think they learned, hey, Michael Porter Jr. is not ready to be number two yet. You know, there was some talk about, like, is Jamal Murray the second best player on this team? When MPJ was going off in the regular season. Let's go ahead and put that to bed. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Jamal Murray is the second best player on the team. We can go ahead and put that one to bed. But look, you know, 3-4 years from now, maybe Porter gets there. But we saw that. We also know that Aaron Gordon is probably not best suited for a number three option. He's probably best in a number four option. When that was the case, everything kind of clicked into place for the Nuggets. But when they disrupted that, you know, I think that there were some issues. I think the weak side defense is probably, and by weak side, I just mean when the reason Chris Paul lit up the Nuggets so much and everyone was like, why are they letting him do this? And it was because in the first two games, they focused really hard on stopping them from doing that. And the Suns reversed the ball and just shot threes. They've got to figure that out. I do think they got to figure out some things in terms of their defense. Not having P.J. Dozier was part of that too, though. Like, it wasn't just Jamal Murray. It was Will Barton, who played really well in those two games that he was able to play in, even on minutes restriction, coming back from the hamstring. And it was Dozier. But I do think you can look at that series and say, you know, look, they ran into a special team having, like, this is the Suns' year. This is much like, you know, the Nuggets had a really great run in 2020, and the Blazers had a really great run in 2019, even though they didn't win the title. This is the Suns' like special run, and they may win the title. The door is open. But I do think you can walk away from that series and say, you know, with this group, there are things we have to shore up to make sure that we give ourselves the best chance at a title next season.
There are some off-season decisions that need to be made from the financial standpoint. Will Barton has a player option he could exercise, as does Jermichael Green. What are your early senses on what those two will do?
You know, I asked Will what his priorities were and where he was leaning going into that player option decision. And, you know, he said he wants the right opportunity, and he said he wants the, you know, he wants a chance to win a championship. The things that he listed, he said, though, that he did want to be appreciated. That's the only thing that kind of stuck out to me. And it's not that the Nuggets don't appreciate him, but when the Nuggets fans booed him 2 years ago in the playoffs, that really stuck with Will. Like that was a disillusioning moment for him. So I expect him. I think it's likely he resigns. I think that there's a good opportunity for the Nuggets to keep him on a pretty reasonable deal. We'll see what that looks like. But look, he's going to be in a market where he can get a lot of value. Like this may be an opportunity for him to make a lot of money, and because there's not a lot of guys of his ilk on the market this season. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. Jamichael Green is the other one. I think he's also a likely candidate to test the waters. I'll say this, if those two don't return, the Nuggets are going to have a really hard time replicating what they did for them this season and in season past with them in case of Will Barton.
When you do look at the rest of the roster, obviously, you know, you don't return everybody every year. What players, at least at the moment, do you think the Nuggets are going to find a way to move away from or at least not continue to grow with? We saw the rookies. We knew that it was going to be tough for them to be able to play a lot. But look, Bol Bol virtually never saw the court unless the game was either blown out in one way or another. Zeke Nagy had some moments and then maybe started to look like the league figured him out a bit as a rookie. He has to adjust. As far as the young guys for the Nuggets, who do you think is ready to maybe step up and step forward if, for example, Green or Barton decides to move?
I mean, I think Najee is a great candidate to fill in some time, but the problem is I don't know if he's really well suited for the two. I think he's more of a wing and a you know, honestly, he's projected as like a center. He played some wing this season because of what they needed, but you know, I think that there's he will play a bigger role next season. I think Zeke showed a lot of good things. I was honestly kind of surprised he was out of the rotation by the end. I think he could have been useful, especially in that Phoenix series. You know, I think a lot of it's going to come down to managing the guard rotation. Yeah, if you expect Facu Campazzo to be back, and you and I have talked about this, and Campazzo's a divisive figure amongst, I think, Nuggets media and fans. I think you have to make a decision on Austin Rivers. They need a veteran guard. And they need a veteran guard to do two things, to help with scoring off the bench once Murray returns and fill in as the starter until Murray gets back. And that's going to be a hard find, I think, on the market. We'll have to see if the Nuggets go that route or they just try and manage until Murray's back a few months into the season. There's a lot of tough decisions to make here. I do think, though, that I'll put it this way. I would not be surprised if we've seen the last of Bol Bol in a Nuggets uniform. I just don't think it's worked out here. He hasn't gotten the opportunity. He may be great somewhere else, but I just wonder if maybe this wasn't the team to give him the right opportunity.
Knowing that there were so many teams that seemed to be interested in Bol Bol nearing the trade deadline as a potential trade piece, obviously you look at somebody like R.J. Hampton, who they could have used, and that might not have gotten the deal done with Aaron Gordon, but should they have probably figured that out a couple months prior and maybe found a way to move along from Bol Bol then, while there was still this idea that he was a really promising player as to someone who spent kind of the entire season not looking like he belonged.
I mean, I would say that the interest was all in larger deals with Bol as a sweetener. Teams were not actively calling him in like, hey, what can we give him for Bol Bol?
Right.
Yeah, that's not the case. And that doesn't mean that Bol can't be successful in this league. Look, he's shown some really exciting things. I do think it's possible. I don't think there was a great market for them. I think if they could have included Bol and kept Hampton, they would have, which, man, that would have changed everything. It just would have changed a lot about the Nuggets season. But ultimately, like, if they do a deal, it'll probably be a smaller one unless they find some sort of complicated mechanism to find an upgrade, which as of this moment, I can't see. But since it's the NBA, I can't rule it out.
Now that the Nuggets have made this kind of dent in this depth of the playoffs for 2 years in a row, despite the injuries, you have the MVP. Is there any sense that the Nuggets are going to be one of those teams where you see, like with the Nets, that guys get their buyouts and that buyout season, which has just been really sort of devastating to league parity, where teams just go scoop up a bunch of guys at league minimum deals that are stars. Have the Nuggets raised their profile, do you think, around the league in that level to become a contender in the ability to add those kind of star players?
I mean, I think star players is a bit much. You know, would you really have defined Blake Griffin as a star with where he was at?
Compared to Austin Rivers? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Austin Rivers is great in the playoffs, though. Sean, like, Austin Rivers was really good for them.
Oh,
and what
the
they needed.
Was fantastic. It's true. But you're
never hearing. But here's the thing. Like, there weren't really high-profile point guards that were available.
Right.
You know, they're what, like, Rajon Rondo, maybe? I'll say this. I think it's possible, but I think the more likely candidate, though, for how this team operates and how close they are, I think it's more likely they bring him in camp. That's a veteran signs on in free agency and says, hey, I'll take the minimum because I think you guys have a shot at getting a ring. That I can see. That to me is a more likely outcome than maybe some of the other options. So, like, at the deadline, it's possible, but I also think that by the deadline, the Nuggets still have an absurd amount of talent. They were short on guards, literally, but I think they'll probably be in a better spot next season, and I'm not sure that they're going to need that kind of veteran guy to come in at that point in the season.
We're talking with our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore, HP Basketball on Twitter. And let's go to the ejection for Jokic. And in some regards, I guess I look at it and think that I'm happy he actually showed a little fire. That series was over. It didn't really matter. Yes, it was in frustration. No, since we know Jokic, he wasn't trying to crack the guy across the bridge of the nose. It was a flagrant foul, but I'm still... The folks who have followed the Nuggets and understand that the Nuggets do not get the breaks, they do not get the calls. I cannot envision LeBron James, Steph Curry, Giannis, anybody who's won the MVP in the last 20 years would have been ejected from a potential elimination game for that. I'm still stunned by it. What's been the feeling around the Nuggets players and the organization about it?
Jokic kind of shrugged about it. He said, look, I didn't mean to hurt him. He said... If I make contact with his face, then I apologize. You know, I'm sorry. He talked to him after. It's one of those things. I thought I was telling that a lot of the players were like, really? You ejected him for that? Not just inside the Nuggets, outside the Nuggets.
Right.
That you had comments from players that were like, really? A lot of it was letter of the law. If you wind up and you make contact with the head, that's it. That's it. Like, there's, and honestly, look, but here's the problem, and I hear the question you're really asking. Like, if you ask me, like, should that be an ejection? Is that an ejection by the letter of the law?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yep. But
like,
they won't throw
Kermit
LeBron
Washington,
out for it.
Rudy.
You know,
yeah,
they won't.
Google Kermit Washington, Rudy Tomjanovich. That's an ejection. But you're right. Like, I can't see LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George.
Right.
Those guys getting tossed for it. I just can't, based off of what I've seen. You know, and I think there's. Ultimately, even if that's unfair, though, Jokic can't be giving those fouls.
No, that was
like,
it was
it's ridiculous.
It was
like,
dumb.
You cannot put yourself in a position to where that can be the possibility. That can be the outcome. You have to avoid that. End dot point blank. And he said, like, well, I was trying to change the tone of the game, and honestly, trying to change the officiating. Do you think the officials are going to be like, oh, I'm sorry, since you hit that guy in the face? Now I'll start calling fouls on you. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So I think ultimately it was a bad look, I thought, for Jokic. I can't disagree with you that I have a hard time seeing those players getting ejected. But if you don't want to risk it, don't commit those kind of fouls.
I can't argue with that. And when you look at the learning experience that the Nuggets had over the course of this season, I think the moment right there is sort of a teachable moment. I think they've had a few of those over the course of the season. Certainly Michael Porter Jr. had his moments, and then the defense kind of fell apart. He knows he has to be better at ball handling. He knows he has to be better at defense. Hopefully he works on that, because this year was about that, between that third and that fourth year, was about when Jamal Murray started to make the turn into becoming what we think of Jamal Murray today. But when you look at all the things that this team has learned over the last, not only just this season, but the last two seasons, what have they learned about themselves in both the good and in the bad?
I think they've learned that they're made for the big moments. That they can, they stared down Damian Lillard's 55. They came back from 3-1 twice. Like, this team doesn't get rattled. This team doesn't get shook. And I'll tell you, the effort in games 1 and 2 was poor, and Malone rightfully blew them up over it, and everyone thought he went too far, and then they responded. But the effort in 3 and 4 I thought was really good, all the way up to the buzzer in game 4. Like, the Nuggets did not mail that in. They did not 1-2-3 Cancun it in a sweep. And that does take a certain amount of character that isn't common in the NBA. They're a high-character team, I think, in terms of their resilience. They're close. They've been through a lot. They like playing together still, which I think is such a boon for any team to be able to say that you enjoy playing together. All the guys really do love playing with Jokic and have a real, like, Jamal, Will Barton had some emotional comments last night. Among them was like, I lost my star point guard. And like, he was emotional about it. Mm-hmm. It made them appreciate the run that they had. I also think that, you know, look, they said they were championship material last year, and we were kind of like, okay. And then they made the Western Conference Finals, you know, and they said it this year again. This team believes they can win the title. They really think they can do it. This is not just window dressing. They believe they can win a title. And their ability to perform in key moments, I think, is crucial. A lot of it for them is they got to clean up the other stuff, the non-key moments. They got to not lose to the Kings three times. They got to not drop these random games. They got to learn how to execute night by night to give themselves a better chance at a top seed, home court, more rest. Because as we saw this year, it was tough. And I asked Michael Malone last night after the game if he thought that the intensity and struggle of this season was going to carry over to next season. And he said it might. So they need to clean all that up so that they can build more rest into the season for a team that has been through a lot in the last year.
Wouldn't hurt to win a third quarter every once in a while they're at it, too. There are a few things. And I guess that leads me to the last one, Matt. Michael Malone. Now, I think we've learned a lot of things about Michael Malone. He has what I think is the hardest part in the NBA handled. He has his players playing hard for him virtually night in and night out. They care. They care about each other. The culture is good. That's the hardest thing in the NBA to build. That said, this playoffs, I've seen Michael Malone get out-coached more than a couple times. What does he have to do to become better on the X's and O's side and when he is facing off against other NBA coaches in high-leverage playoff games?
I would say to you that this was the Sun series is the first time I've seen him outcoached. I don't think Stotts outcoached him in 2019. I think Stotts threw some stuff against the wall and it worked out in a game seven versus a young team. I think he outcoached Doc Rivers. I think he outcoached Quinn Snyder. I think he outcoached Greg Popovich. I think he outcoached Terry Stotts again. I think the Sun series, I go back and forth because I don't feel he coached well. He didn't have the guys prepared for one and two. He didn't make enough tactical adjustments. He couldn't figure out how to push the right buttons, which those are some things that I don't even know. I don't know how you improve that weak side defense versus Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Like, I don't know how you get yourselves in a better situation to get Aaron Gordon scoring more off the dribble. You know, like, some of this is he was just limited by the roster. I think he was outcoached. I think he was also done by the end. I think the entire team was, they were still trying to fight, but I said this last night on Locked On Nuggets, the podcast. The spirit was there, but the body and the mind were just exhausted. And so I think maybe next season the biggest thing is he always struggles with this. He's got to learn when to peel back. Don't play guys so many minutes. Rest guys a couple of nights. Peel back and be like, we can lose this one. Let's make sure everybody's healthy because that's the most important thing. And then the playoffs, I think he's pushed the right buttons continuously. Some of his adjustments in that Portland series were phenomenal. But I do think that ultimately he's going to have to figure out how to manage some of when the roster options are not great, and they won't always be that way. He's going to have to figure them out. But step one, you just got to have a better roster so you have more options to make those adjustments with.
It is going to be an absolutely fascinating offseason for the Nuggets, even if it does start a little bit sooner than everybody had hoped. Make sure you follow Matt on Twitter at HP Basketball, of course, at the Action Network and at the Locked On podcast as well, that he does a terrific job with. At least the episodes that I'm not on it, they're pretty good. So thanks so much. It's been a really terrific season, and I appreciate you breaking it down with us all year long. We'll make sure we touch base here and there in this offseason as the Nuggets continue to build towards what might become their first championship.
Thanks so much, Sean. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Matt Moore, courtesy of Michelob Ultra, an official beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets. Go check him out at HP Basketball. It has been a remarkable season for the Nuggets. And as I've said before, it feels to me as if this is the biggest what-if year in the history of the Denver Nuggets. The Lakers, one of the teams they did not match up well against even when fully healthy, they're out. The Brooklyn Nets, the mercenary-built, star-laden extravaganza up there in Brooklyn. Injuries may do them in. They may be out. Over the last two seasons, The Nuggets, in that regard, have probably been among the very best teams in basketball. And this year, had they been healthy, they probably had their best chance in history to win the whole thing and to miss it out of nothing else but bad luck. That one's hard to get over. And I understand why Nuggets fans are frustrated. But the window is not closed. In fact, with the improvement of Michael Porter Jr., maybe if the fit with Aaron Gordon continues to improve, maybe the window is open a little further than ever. We will find out next fall. Both Colorado teams that were in the second round of the playoffs, the Nuggets and the Avalanche, found their seasons ended when they won a cut, or pardon me, they lost a combined 8 straight games. Just a disaster. That said, both of these teams are in the mix. Which one is closest to winning a championship? Well, I have my ideas. So does Mark Schlereth. We'll hear from him next.